Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s with yours truly, Glenn Robison. A couple of weeks ago, we had a set of songs about coffee to commemorate the debut of Hold Everything, which featured the Da Silva Brown and Henderson song, You're the Cream in My Coffee. So, in the interest of balance, we have some tea songs this evening. We'll also have some right and wrong songs, some timely songs, and we'll have an etiquette lesson. But to get us started, how about a nice cuppa? Here's Billy Cotton.
Like a nice cup of tea in the morning, for to start the day, you see. And at 11:30, well, my idea of heaven is a nice cup of tea. I like a nice cup of tea with my dinner, and a nice cup of tea with my tea. And when it's time for bed, there's a lot to be said for a nice cup of tea.
Cup of tea and a slice, George.
Right, mate, how many lumps?
Three, please.
Blimey, what do you want? The tea in the sugar pot?
This has been well stewed, hasn't it?
Well, what do you expect for 3/8 and champagne?
Now, don't get rude.
All right, mate, don't get narky, but you can't beat a nice cup of tea, can you?
Well, what do you want?
I'd like a nice cup of tea with my dinner. Lovely, isn't it? And a nice cup of tea with my tea, thank you. And then when it's time for bed, there's a lot to be said for a nice cup of tea.
About a score of fellas who went out on the street. There were 20 men, hardy-looking Yankees, red and feathers, the Indian way. They were out to show coming generations how they throw a party up in Boston Bay. Now on that boat, there was a lot of tea. And in spite of stories you've read about, they also had 10 little bottles. And what they did with them, nothing's been said about. Then they threw the stuff deep into the ocean, and a lot of it sure was tea. Those colonials really had a notion how to throw a party that made history.
Mal Hallett and his orchestra with Buddy Welcome taking the vocal on the Boston Tea Party from October 23, 1936. And we started off clear on the other side of the Atlantic with Billy Cotton and his band and A Nice Cup of Tea from February of 1937. Alan Breeze performed the vocal on A Nice Cup of Tea. William Edward Cotton was born in London on May 6, 1899, the youngest of 10 children. He began his musical career as a bugler in a Boy Scout troop. Lying about his age, he joined the army in 1914 and became a drummer-bugler in the Royal Fusiliers. After the war, while working a variety of jobs, he bought a full drum set for use in playing part-time in local bands. By 1925, he formed his own band called the London Savannahs. He began making records in 1928 and began broadcasting for the BBC in 1929 from Ciro's at one point almost every night of the week. Well, no set of songs about tea would be complete without the following song. Here are Waring's Pennsylvanians.
Thank you.
Fletcher Henderson and his Club Alabama Orchestra and Teapot Dome Blues, recorded April 15, 1924. In the band, Don Redman on clarinet and alto sax, and Coleman Hawkins on tenor sax. Don Redman also arranged Teapot Dome Blues. Fletcher Henderson was born in Cuthbert, Georgia, on December 18, 1897. Henderson entered Atlanta University in 1916 and graduated with a degree in chemistry. He intended to pursue that career when he moved to New York in 1920, but he found work as a pianist and as a studio bandleader. He began working full-time at the Club Alabama in 1924. After Don Redman left the band in 1927, Fletcher's younger brother Horace, also a pianist and bandleader, scored music for the band. Teapot Dome Blues was preceded by Fred Waring's Pennsylvanians from January 10, 1930, and Tea for Two from No No Nanette, with music by Vincent Yeomans and lyrics by Irving Caesar. The vocal refrain on Tea for Two marks the recording debut with Fred Waring of the three girlfriends, Stella Friend, Ida Pearson, and June Schaefer. Later on in 1930, they would become the three Waring girls. I'm Glenn Robison, and you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. I'll be back to separate right from wrong right after this. Last week, November 2nd, marked the opening in 1937 of the politically satirical play I'd Rather Be Right. The lyrics were by Lorenz Hart and the music by Richard Rodgers. The play takes place on the 4th of July in New York's Central Park. Peggy and Phil hope to get married, but Phil's boss won't give him a raise until President Roosevelt balances the federal budget. Phil falls asleep and dreams that they meet Roosevelt strolling through the park. Phil explains their predicament, at which point Roosevelt promises to help, and at which point the play takes on the cabinet, the Supreme Court, the Progress Works Administration, fireside chats, press conferences, and Roosevelt's decision to run for a third term. The play ran for 290 performances. So here to commemorate I'd Rather Be Right are some songs about right and wrong, starting off with Isham Jones and his orchestra.
Thank you. bungalow, a bungalow where roses grow. Someday you'll realize you're wrong. Through an open door on the floor, you will see a room full of toys. Accidentally, you might see someone getting all the kissing you're dismissing. You'll hear a baby cry, and then you'll hear a lullaby. Someday you'll realize you're wrong.
California Ramblers and Someday You'll Realize You're Wrong from July 10, 1929. The vocal refrain was by Wallace T. Ed Kirkaby, the group's founder and manager. Kirkaby was born in Brooklyn in 1891 and got into the music business at the Columbia Graphophone Company, where he eventually attained the position of assistant recording manager. He had helped organize the Earl Fuller Jazz Band with Ted Lewis on clarinet as an answer to the original Dixieland Jazz Band, and helped get Phil Napoleon and Frank Signorelli and the original Memphis Five recorded for the first time. And we started off this Right and Wrong set with All Wrong, Isham Jones and his orchestra on May 2, 1923. The cornet solo about halfway through was by Louis Panico, the best known trumpet soloist of the early 1920s, and who became nationally famous for his improvisations and novelty effects. A couple of wrong songs on rapidly rotating records. Here are some right songs, starting off with Bing.
Down in Jimtown, Tennessee, Deacon Amos Lowdown Lee shouts religion to a trifling flock. All week long he stays away, but on Sunday that's his day. You should see that church begin to rock. Sinners hit the trail when he starts in to wail. Stay on the right side, sister. Stay on the right side, sister. Stay on the right side of the road. Look out for old man Satan, he's on the wrong side waiting. Keep on the right side of the road. Once you let the devil take your hand, you'll never get to Hallelujah Land. I see a great day dawning, you'd better heed my warning. Stay on the right side of the road.
Stay on the right side, sister. Don't delay. Shine up with the righteous, yes. Yeah.
Ray Noble and the New Mayfair Dance Orchestra, and a song written by Ray Noble, Baby You've Got the Right Idea, from 1930. That was preceded by some good advice from Bing Crosby, backed by the Dorsey Brothers Orchestra, Stay on the Right Side of the Road, from 1933. You're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. I'm Glenn Robison, and I'd love to hear from you with your comments about the show and or requests. Send either or both to glenn@rapidlyrotatingrecords.com or to Post Office Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711. That's glenn@rapidlyrotatingrecords.com or Post Office Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711. I'm going to punch out for a break. I'll punch back in right after this. Last week, on October 30th in 1894, Daniel M. Cooper of Rochester, New York, patented the time clock. Time cards were inserted into the machine, and the time clock would then stamp the time on the card, recording the actual time employees started and ended work. Assuming the clock was set correctly, of course, which I hope yours are now that it's not daylight savings time. So, to commemorate Mr. Cooper's time clock, here's a set of songs with some specific times that a time clock might punch, starting at 8:45.
Thank you.
The show is Rapidly Rotating Records. I'm Glenn Robison, and that was the Ted Clare Snappy Bits Band. What a great name. 4 o'clock Blues, recorded by Jeanette in New York about January 31st, 1923. I have no information about Ted Clare, but Charles A. Mattson played piano and led the band in that recording. And before the Ted Clare Snappy Bits Band, it was Wingy Minone and his orchestra, and About a Quarter to Nine, from April 8, 1935. About a Quarter to Nine was written by Al Dubin and Harry Warren for the 1935 picture Go Into Your Dance, starring Al Jolson and Ruby Keeler, the only picture the husband and wife made together. Continuing this timely set of songs, here's Leroy Tibbs and his Connie Zinn Orchestra.
Thank you.
Possibly Paul Whiteman's biggest hit of the acoustic era, 3 O'Clock in the Morning, recorded August 22, 1922. The waltz had been composed a few years earlier by Julian Robledo and was originally published as a piano piece. Whiteman cut 3 O'Clock in the Morning for Victor, even though Joseph C. Smith's orchestra recorded it for the same company months earlier on January 27, 1922, which shows the song's popularity. Smith's orchestra had been recording for Victor since 1916 and was the company's most popular dance band until Whiteman began his recording career. Smith's orchestra left Victor in 1922 to work for Brunswick. Whiteman recorded 3 O'Clock in the Morning electrically in August of 1926. And 2 hours earlier, we heard 1 O'Clock Blues, Leroy Tibbs and his Connie's Inn Orchestra on February 1, 1928. Connie's Inn was situated in a basement on the corner of 7th Avenue and 131st in Harlem and rivaled the Cotton Club as an entertainment venue. It was named for Connie Immerman, who owned it with her husband George. 1 O'Clock Blues is one of two sides recorded by Leroy Tibbs and his Connie's Inn Orchestra, but Leroy Tibbs also played piano in King Oliver's Dixie Syncopators, with the Blue Rhythm Orchestra, Johnny Dunn and his jazz band, Perry Bradford and his gang, the Gulf Coast Seven, a group put together by Perry Bradford, and Perry Bradford's Jazz Fools. I'm Glenn Robison, and this is Rapidly Rotating Records. I'll be back with an etiquette lesson right after this. Last week, October 30th, marked the birth in 1872 of Emily Price to Josephine and Bruce Price, a wealthy architect. In 1890, Emily married Edwin Post to become Emily Post. The etiquette authority, who defined manners for millions of Americans, wrote society fiction and essays before writing her classic book, Etiquette, the Blue Book of Social Usage, which was published by Funk and Wagnalls in 1922. She became a radio personality in 1929, and she also wrote a syndicated etiquette column called Social Problems, which ran in 150 newspapers starting in 1940. In 1946, she founded the Emily Post Institute, and by that time, Etiquette was in its 89th printing. Emily Post died in 1960, but the Institute continues with Peggy Post, Emily's great-granddaughter-in-law, as its spokesperson. So here, in honor of Emily Post, is one of six versions I have of Etiquette Blues.
Now, Ned, about this little book on etiquette, don't you think we better tell the folks who wrote it?
Sure, sure. Now, I'm the guy that wrote the book on etiquette.
You're the guy.
Why, I know just how all your vittles should be at.
Won't you tell us?
I have writ this little book about mistakes I've saw.
Have saw?
So take them down and don't forget that what I say is law.
Always leave your spoon up in your coffee.
Don't put it in your eye.
Starting with your soup, first sound your A. Napkins are to catch the food that bounces off your knife. So tuck the napkin in so it will stay
right under the chin.
Always put both elbows on the table.
Right on the table.
And many other pointers we could mention. Always gesture with your fork. Friday means it's fish or pork.
Thank you
for your very kind attention.
Now let's take chapter two.
When your tea is hot, why use your saucer?
Pour it in, sip it down.
Pick the pumpkin pie up in your hand.
Always take big bites.
Never ask for anything that you can safely reach. Read rule 82, you'll understand.
Read it carefully.
Wipe your plate with bread when you have finished.
Get it clean, you won't have to wash it.
And many other pointers we could mention. Grab your glass so it won't drop. Always finish when you stop.
Thank you
for your very kind attention.
Now let's skip down here to chapter 33.
Always mix your peas with your potatoes.
Always.
This makes eating with your knife a cinch.
Be careful, don't get cut.
When somebody asks for bread, grab several in your mitt and deal them out like you were dealing flinch.
Bridge, pinochle, rummy.
Take two toothpicks, you may sometime drop one.
You never can tell.
And many other pointers we could mention. Put your gum beneath your plate. Eat so fast you won't be late.
Thank you
for your very kind attention.
Now, John, let's take chapter 55.
Fine.
never cut spaghetti up in pieces.
No, no, no.
But eat it like a chicken eating worms. You know those long ones that stretch? Always cut a pickle so the halves fly off your plate. Be careful of bacteria and germs.
The nasty things.
When you're eating grapefruit, wear your goggles. And many other pointers we could mention. Finger bowls are set close by. In event your glass runs dry, thank you for your very kind attention.
Now we come to the last chapter.
Wear your earmuffs eating watermelon. Tiddlywinks is proper with the season.
You know, snap them in the glass.
When you're eating cake, be sure to eat the frosting first. Then you'll see exactly what you get. Always laugh when nothing funny happens. Many other pointers we could mention. Never let your ice cream melt. Loosen two holes in your belt.
That is, of course, if you're a gentleman.
Thank you for your very kind attention.
I left my sugar standing in the rain, and my sugar melted away. Sweeter than the sugar from the sugar cane, didn't mean to treat her that way. I guess my sweetie thought I was a low-down kind, didn't realize that she was so refined. Oh, I left my sugar standing in the rain, and my sugar melted away.
fish or pork of the dark for a love affair, huh? You know, I'm satisfied and gratified by your side on a kitchen chair. And whoever wants to page us, we're where loving is contagious. Say the pots and pans, start holding hands, and we fall right in two. We get petting, kitchenetting, watching a knife and fork spoon. Like fork and knife, we spoon through life, and morning, night, and noon. Life's bewitching in the kitchen, watching the knife and fork spoon. Say we kiss, they kiss, ah, here's to the knife and fork. Then we kiss, say, what's this? You know they got us talking baby talk. Out of the frigid air, we'll melt out there, and the climate is just like June. We get loving by the oven, watching the knife and fork spoon.
Some songs in honor of etiquette authority Emily Post. We just heard Don Redman and his orchestra, with Don Redman doing triple duty as alto sax, director, and vocalist on Watching the Knife and Fork Spoon from August 2, 1933. Before Don Redman, it was the Rhythmic Eight, with Eddie Collis vocalizing on I Left My Sugar Standing in the Rain, a very impolite thing to do. And we started this etiquette set of songs with the Mona Motor Oil Twins and Etiquette Blues. And speaking of etiquette, Glenn Robison requests the honor of your company for next week's edition of Rapidly Rotating Records. You may RSVP to Glenn at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com or Post Office Box 145, Claremont, California 91711. That's Glenn at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com or Post Office Box 145, Claremont, California 91711. And as the Mona Motor Oil Twins just said, and as I say each and every week, I thank you for your very kind attention.